everybody. Welcome to episode 195 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And today is November 20th, 2012. I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, also known as Murphy's Law around the boards. And with me this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello. And as you'll gather when you reach the end of this podcast by the outtakes, there's no Christopher Matthew here at the beginning to kibosh Greg's intro. So he did that so clean, so smooth, it was unbelievable.
Thank you, Skull. No Mr. Matthew today. And at the moment, no Mr. Mike Chin, but he will be joining us mid-podcast. We're just keeping an eye out for him. We're recording a little earlier today. Due to some time constraints and the holiday coming up for the stateside people for Thanksgiving, it's just kind of thrown a little wrench in the podcast time frame. So we figured we'd kick off a little early, and it's like Christmas for you, Rich.
Yeah, no chance of sleep here, but no chance of a kid running in and going, "Dad, where's the remote?" or something daft like that.
Well, you know, trade-offs, right? Trade-offs.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we, let's kick it off. Let's dive into some game talk.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so, Rich, I think you and I have some similar games to talk about. I'm going to get, at least one of mine out of the way real fast. I had some additional time in Madden 13 this weekend, being that I'm participating in a couple Madden leagues through the lag folk. Gary, the real Defoe, and I, we squared off on Saturday night to play Madden. It was the Broncos versus the Chargers. And true to form, just like the real NFL game, the Broncos came out victorious. Much to my chagrin, and I now pretty much hate Gary. I mean, he's a nice guy and all, but he's on my bad list. Madden 13 is one of those games that somewhere along the line, I don't know what they did, Rich, but it's like they did a patch update, and the defenses have now reverted to the defenses of last year where they are intercepting balls left and right. He and I both were talking about it because it really feels noticeable, and it didn't feel that way when we first picked up Madden, but somewhere along the line they've made some tweaks that I'm not sure I totally am okay with. What are you going to do, right? So Madden 13, old game. Halo 4 and Call of Duty Black Ops. Black Ops 2, both games on my list. Rich, I know you don't have Halo 4 yet, so let me dive into that real quickly. Continuing on to play multiplayer and single player, I was really hoping to have the single player finished by today, but unfortunately, due to parenthood and needing to deal with a child that, well, basically demanded to be dealt with, the game time has been pretty, sporadic over the past weekend. I thought I was actually going to get a lot more time to play games than I did, even yesterday and today. So, I am making my way through Halo 4. I think I am basically towards the very end of the campaign. And I got to say, this is it is deserving of all of the hype. This Halo game has definitely lived up to expectation. Even superseded it in a lot of ways. Just graphically, the story. It is a much more adult story. I came across a couple different campaign missions, or I should say cutscenes, that dealt with the much darker side of the Covenant and the war, and not so much the war, the new conflict, if you will. And I'm not used to seeing some of the more graphic nature stuff that they had in there. For a Halo game, it really caught me off guard, but it was welcome because I slowly have kind of changed my view of how the Covenant were. In the old Bungie games, the Covenant always had, they were tough opponents, but I never looked at them as kind of scary, for lack of a better way to put it. They didn't really come across, mean or as aliens so much as they were kind of a little comical. They had, you know, the funny quips from the grunts. And now the grunts still have kind of the funny sounds to them, but I have to kind of think back through, I'm pretty sure they've taken away all of the English elements of all of the alien creatures. So you don't understand them anymore. They certainly still have a little bit of their character and mannerisms with the grunts, at least. But it's made the game that much better. I look at the Covenant now as just this vicious race of alien beings that really are here to just wipe out humanity.
Is the excellent full motion video adding to that as well? Is that building a better picture of the Covenant?
Yes, it by far adds a element to it, especially the more recent cutscene that I watched. There is a level of brutality and human loss of life, which you didn't really see in the prior games. I mean, you know, the Covenant were here, they were wiping out humanity, and in all the previous Halo games, with the exception of Reach, I think it kind of dabbled into that area, you never really saw the true ramifications of what the Covenant did. You know, even in ODST, you're in, you know, these human cities, but they're kind of barren, desolate, they've been deserted. There's, you know, you don't even see bodies lying around. Whereas in this game, you absolutely see right front and center the Covenant, you know, harming humans. And I think it was a long overdue welcome addition to the story, because it really gives weight to the Covenant. You suddenly feel like, no, these are really bad dudes. They're nasty. And even the grunts, now, because for whatever reason, they seem more formidable in Halo 4, you can't take the grunts lightly. They will absolutely take you out if you turn your back on them, especially on some of the harder difficulty levels like Heroic and Legendary. They are definitely not to be forgotten about. So just really enjoying Halo 4. And the multiplayer still as excellent as when I first started playing it. Really enjoying the different things that they've done on the multiplayer side in terms of kind of giving it a little bit of that Call of Duty feel, but not too much. I mean, just enough to give you some incentives and perks for leveling up that actually mean something more than just armor upgrades, which were cosmetic.
And have you been on the multiplayer level that has the mechs in?
I have indeed. And let me tell you, love playing in the Mantis. It is a kick. But unfortunately, most of the multiplayer maps that have the Mantis, there's usually just one per side. And so, you know, you it's opportunities, you know, where you pick it up. Because I don't want to be that asshole that, you know, as soon as it spawned, I just run right to the mech and jump into the mech. But on the flip side, that's about the only way you can get to the mech sometimes. So, yeah.
And with the fact that you can pick your loadout beforehand, what weaponry options are you going for then, Greg?
Well, yeah, and what I like about the loadout options, because a lot of people were worried that it was going to unbalance the game, but again, the loadout options really, they're not the power weapons, so you're not able to preload out like a rocket launcher or, the sniper rifle. Well, actually, I think you can. I take it back. No, you can't. The sniper rifle is only still on the maps or a ordnance drop. But you can do a DMR or a battle rifle, and those are pretty much the two I go back and forth on. The smaller maps, I may opt for the assault rifle, just because you tend to be a little more close range. And in close, the assault rifle is as lethal as any other weapon on the battlefield, if you ask me. But, I really like the DMR. I think that fits my play style because I tend to like to play at a little bit of distance. And so the DMR is just a powerful single-shot semi-automatic rifle that has a good zoom. It's just, it's good enough that you can get pretty much to any side of the map with the exception of the really long maps. And, then I usually have, I tend to opt for plasma grenades, and those are something that you can unlock. And then you have your armor and upgrade abilities. And right now I have extra ammo, as one of my support abilities. So basically you just get some extra ammo on top of your normal ammo so you don't run out as much.
Well, right, I'm thinking they've got something similar to stopping power as well. Or is that something that just drops on the ordnance thing?
There is a damage multiplier,
yeah.
But it is an ordnance drop. It's not something that you just automatically have.
Okay.
It's similar to how kind of they used to work in, you know, when you find the bubbles in the old Halo 3 where you ran up to the bubble, it was either invincibility or it was, extra damage or invisibility. And so it works kind of similar to that, but they all happen through ordnance drops, which basically as you gain points through the match, you are earning points towards an ordnance drop. And once you reach a certain level, you'll hear, ordnance drop ready. And then you get three options that you select with your D-pad, and they'll be randomized. So you'll never be able to tell which ones you're for sure going to get. But usually you have kind of it'll be three different, power weapons or an ability mixed in with some weapons. And you pick one of the three. And at where you're looking and your reticle is pointing towards is where the ordnance drop will come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost instantaneous. It happens like about 3 second delay, and you see this ordnance drop come, down from the sky and just bury itself into the ground, and it's like a shell casing that opens up, and there's whatever weapon you asked for is sitting right there, and you just go and pick it up.
Can you kill yourself with it, like in Call of Duty? Because that was always a comical moment.
And yes, you can. The ordnance drop absolutely can take you out, or a vehicle, whatever the case may be. They have lethality to them. And the maps are all so far, I think, very well designed. There's a game mode that I'm really enjoying called Domain, which basically it's kind of like, I'd equate it out to maybe like Headquarters or Domination, I guess, is probably the other Call of Duty equivalent, where you've got like three different hold points. And you're going and you're capturing them, and then you're trying to hold them.
Yeah.
And the longer you hold them, the more points you get. And once you're holding all three, it's kind of on lockdown, and the other team has to unlock one, otherwise the game will be over. The cool thing about it is each of the 3 points are in a kind of base, and you can fortify the base. And literally there are turrets that you can activate and set up that will guard the base. And when you fortify the base also, some of the exterior doorways into the base will actually get shut. So they won't be accessible to enemy characters. They won't be able to come through if it's been fortified. So it's a very cool mechanic, and it adds a level of gameplay. Not only do you get these defense turrets that come up and kind of locking down to the base, but you also get ammo resupplies, weapon drops will start happening, and vehicle drops will come down. And so suddenly you'll have access to vehicles like, tanks and, warthogs, that kind of thing. So, it is more of that kind of Battlefield 3 kind of vibe versus your standard Halo. It's a welcome addition, if you ask me.
Does that make it a little bit unbalanced, though? If you take all 3 points, and then it just makes it hard, really hard for the other team to break down? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, once if all 3 points are captured, it makes it very difficult. But, I mean, you can go in, and typically speaking, all 3 points being captured, one of those points is probably going to be open to attack. And what I find more often than not is you're seeing 2 captured points versus 1, and you're able to kind of hold your own with at least 1 more times than not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cool.
Halo, it is absolutely living up to every expectation I had. And like you were alluding to, the cutscenes in this game are amazing in their production and quality. I am utterly just taken aback. In fact, I'll talk about this a little later, but we'll be doing a quick video of it. And I did select the opening scene of Halo 4 to show in a quick look video that we'll be putting up. It has some of the best facial animations I've seen in a long time, and to the point that at first you're looking at it like, wait, is that CGI or is that full motion video? It is exceptional. So, anyway. So, besides Halo 4, I did dabble, and it really was just a dabbling, Rich, of Black Ops 2. But I know you played a lot more of it. So why don't you kind of kickstart with Black Ops 2? Or instead, maybe you want to cover a couple of the other games first, and then we talk Black Ops 2.
Yeah, I mean, then if we'll be talking multiplayer, I'm guessing, but I'll just cut in on the single player stuff.
Yeah,
because I've done probably about 3 missions on that. I've not hit any of the controversial Strikeforce stuff yet, which we'll talk about when we get to play it and form our own opinion on it. The one thing I've got an irritation with a single player. And I don't know if it's to do with the way I was playing it. I was playing straight off the disc. I've now installed it, but I've not been much single player. But I was finding that the audio was cutting out on there a lot.
Really?
Yeah, when there's like key audio bits like coming in from the old guy. It's Woods, isn't it? The guy that's in it. And Mason's son's
right.
The main protagonist that you take charge of in the future bits. But yeah, a lot of the audio was cutting out on me, and it was a bit frustrating. So that's why I bailed out on it after I'd done like 3 missions, and I thought I'm going to get it installed and carry on from there, and hopefully it's going to sort itself out. But overall, yeah, it was all right. Did 2 missions that were basically in the past, and then cut forward to a future mission, which is laying down the groundwork for the main antagonist of the whole piece. And yeah, it looks okay. It's good. Bit of a recap, and it does recap on Blops 1,
right,
numbers and stuff. And it does a very smooth job of just interlinking the two games. So hopefully it's going to carry on in the same sort of vein. But yeah, that was my single player. And then the multiplayer, been playing a ton of that at stupid o'clock at night. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that. Got together with a load of guys from LAG, Lazy Hit Gaming, and was playing a lot of the core game types, which I don't normally play that much of, to be honest with you. So all my loadouts are set up for hardcore, but I think in this game, more than any other, it doesn't really matter because they've got this Take 10 system.
Right.
You get to basically have a really powerful gun in. You know, you haven't got stopping power or anything like that, but just feels like you're more comfortable in any setting anyway. Because, go on.
I was going to say, maybe we should kind of lay the groundwork for the Take 10 system. Mm-hmm. So this way, listeners who may not have Black Ops 2, there are a few people out there that have not bought this game. I think like 2. So the Take 10 system, this go-round in multiplayer, basically from the get-go, you always have 10 kind of, you're allotted 10
slots.
Spend points.
Yeah.
Is that maybe the best way to put it? 10 spend points for your loadout.
Well, you're not spending. You've got permanent slots there. The spending comes into it with your tokens. But, yes, the slots are always available to fill up with whatever you want. So you have got 10 slots, yeah.
Well, it's actually more than 10 slots. I guess this is probably it was the confusing part for me when I first jumped into it.
Yeah.
So you're presented this screen for your loadout, and you'll see your primary weapon, your secondary weapon, and then your primary weapon has 2 other little blank boxes that could be filled with something. Your secondary weapon has the same thing. Then you have, like, I want to say it's like 6 different other slots that you could put perks into, you could put grenades into. I mean, basically, you can load yourself out however you want.
And you've got wild cards as well.
Right, you've got wild card stuff. But the thing about it is you're allowed kind of every slot you choose takes a token. And you're given 10 tokens in a loadout. And so, you can use up to 10 things, but the reality is there's like, I don't know, probably 20 different things you could do. If you, like, threw everything up on the page, it would be 20 things. But you can't do 20 things. You can only do 10.
Okay, let's rewind, because I think we're going to cause some confusion. Right.
Quite possible.
When you're saying tokens, right, you shouldn't say that, because the tokens are what you,
hey, you
spend
start.
To unlock.
You start. Right. All right, fair enough. That's true.
If,
okay.
If you get a picture in your head of Resident Evil, right, where you've got an inventory and certain things take up a certain amount of space in that inventory, this is what they've basically get. They've got a really nice UI. So if you look at like a primary weapon, if you look at it on screen, it looks as if it's taking up two of the squares that would normally be allocated for, say, a grenade. So right. If you give up, say, your secondary weapon, which takes up two of these spaces, then you would be allowed to replace it with, say, two grenades or two tactical grenades, depending on what you're doing. Then you've got wild cards and so on. And wild cards are lined up at the bottom. You can have up to three wild cards. If you pick a wild card, again, it takes up two slots. But once you unlock the wild card, say you use one which is called greed. Greed gives you the ability to use two perks. So once you unlock that one, you will then have a single square that appears, which would be where, say, class one is. Perk one. So you've already got one perk in there, but if you unlock that greed one, you've then got another one. So you can then go in and pick a second perk. If you went in to look at your perks and you found that you had, a blind eye where you're immune to UAV or hardline, you can then spend one of your tokens to unlock that permanently. So you're earning right. your tokens whilst you're ranking up, and then you can spend them however you want. You could spend them on kill streak rewards. You could spend them on gun, not so much gun attachments, because they normally unlock automatically, or any sort of deadly, lethal claymore or whatever. You could use it for that. So that's sort of how it works. But the end result of this is that you can basically customize it however you want. I mean, I've practiced
from the get go. I mean, it's you know, you're not handcuffed really, except for maybe at level one when you first play. You'll have the preloaded, and they always have those preloaded loadouts there for you.
Yeah,
which is nice because they're actually fairly good. I was utilizing that for, I think, my first 12 levels and doing very well with it. So don't dismiss those. They're set up pretty well balanced and they'll get you deep into gameplay. The other thing, Rich, which is different from at least like Modern Warfare 3, you're not racking up dollars, if you will, to buy weapons. Your weapons will unlock as you progress and complete challenges, that kind of thing, and also the ability to buy with tokens, say scopes or suppressors, that kind of thing, will also, in a sense, kind of get unlocked as you play with that particular weapon more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two nice big additions that they've put to the attachments. I think I did briefly mention them last week, was the target finder scope, which is one that mm-hmm. basically gives you a red square around everything that moves, unless they've got a perk to counteract it. And then also they've got the X-ray one, which is one that can see through walls and so on, so you'll get a shadow of people through the wall. The one thing that I've been playing around with a lot this week is the score streak rewards. And I've been doing it. If you unlock the Guardian in a hardcore mode, you have basically got the ultimate claymore ever. So basically, this Guardian is a tripod that will set up and it puts out like a radiation type wave across as far as it can see. So if you point it across, say, the horizontal axis of a map, it will go as far as it can until it hits a wall. So it's very handy for covering your back, much like a claymore would be used, but it's only a one-off thing. This thing will stay and just fry people until it gets destroyed. So, I've been using that a lot, especially in game modes like Domination. We had a
right.
ridiculous game with the I think it's when you just latched onto us with the lag people, and we was holding down B and I got that Guardian up, and this was in a core game as well, but it was just a beast. I think we got 41 kills in a game, and I can't remember ever doing that in a Call of Duty game. But that I was using that along with the drone that flies around.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever played with that, but if you think Ghost Recon Future Soldier, where you've got your drone that you can pull up for scouting and spotting people, well, this is the same, but you can actually shoot people with it. It's like having a mini AC-130. But for balancing reasons, it's very good because it's quite easy to bring down, because it does get irritating when you've got all that air support stuff floating around. So I think they've done a really good job of that, actually. You don't see a lot of stuff that you have to pull a launcher out for and bring down, which is refreshing. And it's just bringing all the gameplay down to the ground again, so that's good.
I will say from my time, and I really spent a good chunk Saturday playing it with you and the rest of the guys. I guess it was late Friday into Saturday morning. But I will say I'm starting to see that this game engine clearly looks older. Especially the stuff that I saw from the single player, the intro scene. I mean, it doesn't look bad, don't get me wrong. It certainly still looks like a good game, but I think it's pretty clear this engine has more or less kind of, you know, it's run its course. I don't think they're going to really be able to do too much more with this engine, if anything more, other than, you know, the map packs, whatever they have planned for it. My guess is this is the last game we see on this engine.
Who do you think they've put to task on that, then? Because the original one was done... It's a Quake engine, isn't it, that's been heavily modified, so...
I would imagine it's Infinity Ward that is working with it, what's left of Infinity Ward over at Activision. That's a great question of what engine they're utilizing. I know they're going to want 60 frames per second, which, you know, maybe they're utilizing the Rage engine.
Yeah, possibly. Another possibility as well is... You've got to think about what's going to be quite tasty next gen, and I think, like you say, the ID one is probably one of the best out there, and then also you got the Crytek one, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, true, the Crytek one. I mean, the thing that they're looking for is which engine is going to, run smooth and run smooth at a high frame rate. I don't think Unreal is necessarily an option, just based on everything we've seen from Unreal over the past years. I don't recall it ever really running at 60 frames per second, except for back in the day with the Unreal tournaments. I think those were 60 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
But everything since then has been in the 30s. Great visual fidelity, don't mind, don't get me wrong, but just speed-wise, I'm not sure that's what they'd be looking for. But maybe they're doing their own engine. There's always that possibility.
Well, it's going to definitely be a key point next gen, because I think a lot of the other guys that are out there will be looking to run 60 frames per second with the extra power that's in there, so there might be a lot more competition out there from next gen, so they best do a good job of it.
Yeah, I just can't see them using this engine on...
No, I don't think they've got any option to be honest with you. Once they move to a new console, I think they're going to have to bite the bullet and get it sorted.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, anything else you want to cover on Black Ops 2? Did you get any more time on the zombie side, or?
No, I didn't. I didn't really bother with the zombie side, to be honest with you. It's all been multiplayer. What I did do this was funny actually. Once I familiarised with myself with all of the maps, because like I say, I always play hardcore. My favourite mode is search and destroy, which I do tend to find there's not a lot of people out there that like playing, apart from the old guys that I used to play with 035s. So I thought, right, I'm familiar with the maps, so I'm now going to jump into Search and Destroy. And lo and behold, the first map that came up was one I've never played before, which is the carrier map. So, yeah, it was a baptism of fire in that, to be honest with you, because I was running around like a headless chicken, not knowing where I was going. But,
That was my first game of Black Ops 2 with you.
Yeah.
That map. Well, that whole game, I was just like, where am I going? I don't. Oh, I got shot. Where am I? Oh, I got shot again. Yeah, that was tough. I think it was like 4-17 that map.
It's so odd when you first start as well, because you think, well, I can sit here and do a bit of camping and start getting ranked up quickly, or I can explore so I familiarise myself with the maps. And if you do the camping thing, then it's going to take you a hell of a lot longer to learn the maps. So I tend to just camp, run, camp, run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely pays to travel in packs.
Yeah.
You can lone wolf Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for sure, but more often than not, if you're able to track, you know, go in a pack, sorry, of 2 to 3 players, you guys tend to be a lot more successful with your takedowns and stuff.
Oh, can I tell you something that's really hilarious as well? The fact that they've added that thing where if you kill somebody, the mic switches over to their reaction for about 3 seconds.
Oh, good, good, good. Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
I find that absolutely hilarious. And I was using it as well because I was once I caught onto it and I thought, oh, I'm hearing what the other guy's saying as I've shot him. So then afterwards, when I was getting shot, I was just singing random stupid songs like the Benny Hill theme or, you know,
right,
the theme from The Archers and stuff. And the guys at the other end of the thing must have been, I'm playing with an absolute loon here. But yeah, it's great fun, that is. Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's that's like, what is it, Halo 3 or Halo ODST? I'm trying to remember. They actually all might have had it. They had the proximity chat.
Yes.
So as you got close to somebody, you could hear them talking. And I had never really had that, you know, understood how important that was until I got into a match with, I think, you, Aaron Stevens, and Mike Chin. And if it wasn't you, then it was Big Bad Daddy.
It would have been Big Bad Daddy.
Yeah. And we were playing, and you could hear, as you were walking down the quarter getting closer to where the other players were, you could hear them talking, and you suddenly heard their strategy, and it was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. But anyway. All right. Well, Rich, what else did you play this week? Let's cover that over real quickly, and then we'll move on.
Yeah. Basically, we had another round of Monopoly Streets, and we came to the realization that next time we play this game, we've got to play it on the short game, because unlike when you roll out the board game in, say, the dining room,
right,
the lady of the house wants to watch television. So if you're stuck in a game of Monopoly for 3 hours on a Saturday morning, doesn't go down too well. So we've yet to complete a game yet. But yeah, we're still having fun with that, and it's definitely going to get used a lot.
I need to take a look at that. That seems like that would be a perfect family game.
Yeah, it is. It's brilliant. It's excellent. Saturday morning, when you're just chilling out, just whack it on and take it in turns. It's great stuff. We added the extra controller, so we've played with 3 controllers this time, and that worked really well. So yeah, it's great. And then I went back to Pool Nation. So
okay,
I'm enjoying that still. Unlocked a few more tables, and also now getting in, there's like bonus games that you get to play once you've defeated a table. It'll unlock. They're quite interesting as well. So it will revert to a different kind of table with a different setup and give you different objectives to do. Started getting more used to as well the controls on it, and it has got a really nice set of controls as well, switching views and so on to get your angles right. Not much more to say about that because it is just pool, but a very worthy purchase. I don't think I mentioned the price as well last week. It's only 800 points, so if you're not bothered about it now, if that goes on offer, it's going to be a definite buy, I should think, because it's well worth it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what Mr. Mike Chin has to say about that, because he is the ball and stick man.
He is. He is indeed. All right, well, since Mike has not joined us yet, I think we're going to transition on over. We'll cover some new releases and dabble into some news for you, Mr. Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's get going. All right, so new releases this week. Well, on the Wii U and, well, the Wii 2, you've got Rise of the Guardians. That is the only retail game coming out this week. Let's face it, all of the other games that you would have wanted for the Wii U, or, well, really the Wii U, because there's nothing on the Wii, they all came out last week. And, of course, the Wii U came out this week, this past Sunday. So, yeah, you probably already have all those games. But if you were looking for one more, Rise of the Guardians, there you go. On the 3DS this week, you've got Adventure Time, Hey Ice King, Why'd You Steal Our Garbage? Yep, that one. You also have Rise of the Guardians, the video game. And on the DSiWare shop, you've got Crashmo. So if you're interested in any of those titles, they're there for your portable gaming.
Crashmo?
Crashmo, yeah, Crashmo.
I wonder if that's got anything to do with Pushmo, which is that full box game.
I'm thinking it does.
Oh, I'm going to have to look at that.
Okay. On the PS3 this week, Rich, I know you're loving your Crashmo, but we've got PS3 games to talk about. Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, finally coming out. The sequel, now coming out to pretty much everybody. That's on the retail shelves, along with Family Guy, Back to the Multiverse, History's Legend of War, Patton, and then Hitman Absolution, PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale, Rise of the Guardians, the video game, and Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, all hitting retail shelves this week. On the PSN front, you can pick up Clan of Champions, Doom Classic Collection, Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, F1 Race Stars, Family Guy, Back to the Multiverse, Hitman Absolution, Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and Sin Mora, along with Tom Clancy's End War, and The Walking Dead No Time Left. Minis this week, Jetpack Joyride, and you've got a couple demos coming out this week for the PS3, DMC Devil May Cry, and Sin Mora. And last but not least, DLC for Borderlands 2, Mr. Torg's Campaign of Carnage. And moving over to the PS Vita this week, Persona 4 Golden comes to the retail shelves, along with PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. And from the PSN front of things, you've got El Menage Original, Jet Set Radio, Persona 4 Golden, PlayStation's All-Stars Battle Royale, and Sin Mora. Minis Jetpack Joyride and the demo for Sin Mora also available for the Vita. Moving over to the Xbox 360 retail shelves this week, you've got Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, Family Guy Back to the Multiverse, History's Legends of War Patton, Hitman Absolution, Rise of the Guardians, the video game, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Xbox Live Arcade this week, you've got Kinect Sports Gems 3-Point Contest, the Darts vs. Zombies, also for Kinect Sports, and Kinect Sports Gems Ski Racing.
Hold on.
And
Darts?
Yes.
Darts vs. Zombies.
Yes, I may have to check that out. That one in particular, since I do have Kinect Sports. Darts vs. Zombies, it may need to be at least viewed. It's showing it as its own arcade title, so I'm thinking there should be a trial. And they're only $5, so there you go. Also, $5 this week, The Walking Dead, No Time Left. Looks like the final episode finally coming out. And demos, DMC, Devil May Cry, DLC, Borderlands 2, Mr. Torg's Campaign of Carnage, and games on demand, you've got Victorious Time to Shine and Sleeping Dogs. And then moving over to the PSPC, for PC and some Mac games, Assassin's Creed 3 comes out this week, Borderlands 2 also coming out this week for PC, Family Guy, Back to the Multiverse, History's Legends of War Patton, Hitman Absolution, Little Inferno, Planetside 2, Scribblenauts Unlimited, which, by the way, Mr. JFSS Lifelike says is fantastic on the Wii U, He picked it up for that, so if you liked it on the Wii U, I'm sure it's probably just as good on PC. And Sonic Adventure 2, as well as Sonic Adventure 2 Battle for PC. And last but not least, The Walking Dead, No Time Left. And that does it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, Rich, we're just going to transition right on over into the news. And so, of course, that means a news quiz. And, of course, that means, Rich...
I'm the winner!
Yeah. You are the winner and both the winner and loser, all in the same game. How amazing is that? We could also say, Rich, you have won, lost, and tied today.
Yep.
Amazing. All right. Rich.
Yes.
This is a question that I think you'll have a little bit of knowledge about. Tom Hardy is now apparently playing the role of Sam Fisher in the film adaptation of Splinter Cell.
Yes.
Who is the director? Is it A, Eric Singer, B, Brad Bird, or C, Josh Whedon?
I don't think it's Josh Whedon. That man's got commitments. And the possibility of a Star Wars film on the horizon. Who's the other ones? I don't even know the other ones.
Eric Singer.
Yeah.
He did The International, and Brad Bird did Mission Impossible.
Eric Singer.
Good guess, Rich. Yes, Eric Singer. And this was news that was reported by you, so I couldn't... the big piece of this news, actually, is that Tom Hardy is being...
playing the role of
Sam Fisher. But I had to throw you a little curve, Rich. I had to throw you the curve.
Yeah.
So
it was a worthy curve.
Curve. I'm excited and nervous, all in the same breath. Splinter Cell, I think, could make for a great spy flick, but as with any video game adaptation, you always have to hold your breath a little bit.
There's something that's a bit weird about that. They're all.
I'm sorry?
Something that's a bit weird about what you're saying in that story, alright? There are heavy, heavy rumors, because Daniel Craig's only contracted to do two more Bond films, that Tom Hardy is the man being penciled in for that. Now, I would have thought, if he knew that was on the horizon, he wouldn't want to be opting for what would definitely be an inferior franchise. No matter how it kicks off, it's not going to be bigger than Bond, is it, at the end of the day? But we'll see.
Well, I mean, if there's two more films left for Daniel Craig, you got to figure that's at least, what, 4 or 5 years out? So, you know, you got to figure at least 2 years production time for each film and maybe a little bit of downtime in between. So you're talking 5 years from now. So I think Tom Hardy, if he's in this project now, he'll probably be done with it and still have a good 3 years before the next opportunity comes up for 007.
Yeah, chance to prove himself, but then also, I don't know, seems a bit strange.
Man's got to eat, Mitch. Man's got to eat.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of, actually, there's no tie into this. Nintendo Wii, the Wii U, excuse me, launched on Sunday, and gamers were greeted by a massive firmware update. Now, what issue has been reported if you unplug the Wii U during the update? Is it A, bricking the console, B, bricking the Wii U pad, or C, unsyncing the Wii U pad, and needing the Wii U pad to be resynced before the update is begun again?
Firstly, I'd say anybody that turns it off whilst it is doing that deserves to have a whole group of Pikmin come in and kick him multiple times on the ass. But I'd go for the third one about the desyncing.
Well, unfortunately, it's actually A. Apparently, it is bricking the console, yeah. Plugging the Wii U during day one firmware update might brick the console for good. The LA Times film and video games industry journalist Ben Fritz reported this on Twitter. Fritz said that he unplugged his Wii U 15 minutes into the update when the progress bar said it would take 2 hours to finish. And his console is now completely busted. Now, Nintendo of America also has come forward and said they warn Wii U owners, please do not power down or unplug your system while downloading the updates. Doing so may cause damage to your Wii U. So, yeah. But, again, this is one of those things, Rich, where I'm right there with you. You know, you shouldn't unplug your console during a update. However, I don't think anybody in their right mind expects a two-hour update when they get their new console. I mean, that is a massive firmware upgrade that they're talking about. Okay. Download and update. And my guess is a lot of people started this and probably were like, I don't have time to do this. There's something I've got to do. Whatever the case may be, maybe they didn't feel comfortable leaving it on while they were gone. And so I'm wondering just how many consoles have been bricked.
I'm just wondering as well with Nintendo's limited experience with using the internet and stuff with consoles, whether they've actually built in something as thoughtful as a download in the background type thing. Are you gonna have to leave your console on whenever you do anything like that, or okay to put it on standby mode and it'll carry on downloading?
I can tell you, once you're done with the update, for other things, yes, the Nintendo Wii U has a sizable amount of RAM, which is good, and it is actually able to have multiple applications going and running during the same at the same time, so you can actually download updates and update the software, games or whatever, while you're actually doing other things. In fact, I think even playing another game. So
hallelujah.
There's good news on that front. All right, let's move on to the next question, which is the developer for Zombie U indicated they had plans to do what for this game in the future? Is it A, add additional maps for DLC, B, add new versus and co-op modes for DLC, or C, they have no plans at all for any DLC?
I don't know if they pushed the boat as far out as Versus and Co-op. Although that would be funny if you had two guys in the same room trying to kill each other with them pads held out in front of them, trying to look in the backpacks and stuff. That could lead to some serious living room accidents. I'll go for the first one.
You're having a rough go of it, and it's not your fault. This was a tough one. They actually have no plans for any DLC right now for Zombie U, which is pretty surprising given it's Ubisoft. You would think they'd have some kind of DLC planned for this game, but no, nothing at the moment. They said that a few things that we tried during the production ended up on the cutting room floor, but this is because they didn't work out as well as we had hoped, not because they were scheduled for, they were scheduled and forced us to do it for DLC. So, no plans right now for any future DLC for Zombie U. So, it'll be a while. If they're going to do anything, they're going to have to start it from scratch, I guess. All right, moving on. Call of Duty launched last week in the UK and placed where in the all-time launch sales numbers, Rich, for the UK? Was it A, second, B, third, or C, fourth? Blobsu.
I've heard really good things about the launch. I don't know. I'm going to go for second. I thought it might have been first. Second.
Yeah, no, it was fourth.
Really?
My guess is probably beaten out by three previous Call of Duty games.
Oh, pray tell. You're not going to tell me what was better than it?
They did not report what was better than it. But what I can give you is the UK top 10. And I apologize. I looked for it. I really did. And it was more. I didn't have enough time to look it up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
Talk
I let
about
you down.
Keeping a Blobs fan hanging.
Oh, I know. Well, it did rank number one this week in the top 10 UK sales. Halo 4 came in at number 2. FIFA at number 3. Assassin's Creed 3 at 4. Skylanders Giants came in at number 5. Need for Speed Most Wanted in at 6. Just Dance 4 at 7. Borderlands 2 at 8. Number 9 was The Sims 3 Seasons. And number 10, Football Manager 2013. So,
it's good to see Borderlands still hanging in there. That's good.
it's good to see Borderlands hanging in there. It's also good to see that that was filled with pretty much all newer games within 6 months, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about The Sims 3 and Football Manager, though. I'm not sure when they came out. But everything else is recently come out, which I think is healthy for the industry to see that. It always worries me when we're going to the holiday months and you're seeing, you know, old Call of Duty games or, you know, an old Halo game or, you know, a Battlefield 3 appearing in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good sign. All right, last question, and this is a fun one, Rich. But ironically, it's real. What is Square Enix considering for the future of Final Fantasy XIV? Are they considering A, children from player wedlock? Are they considering B, same-sex marriage? Or are they considering C, in-game divorce?
I'm no aficionado of this franchise. I've only played 7. I'm going to go with the same-sex marriage.
Rich, you pulled it out at the end. You finally got one right. Good for you. Yeah, same-sex marriage. I guess it's an issue. And they said, as for same-sex marriage, this is an extremely controversial topic that has been under discussion in the MMO world for the past few years. First, we would like to start out with opposite-sex marriage and then consider the feedback from our players in order to make a careful decision. I can't say whether or not it will be possible at this time. I'd like to keep dialogue open with our players as we deliberate on this matter. That was so PC, like,
is it
kind of maybe not could do it? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, is it really that big a deal? Come on, just put it in the game, man.
You know what? It will become a big deal. Once they make a full decision, it will become a big deal. One way or another, it will become a big deal. Either they will become the game that allows same-sex marriage, and everybody's going to get in a big outrage about that, or they will become the game that hates gays and doesn't allow same-sex marriage.
Well, this is why you should just say you're doing it, and then just let it stew for God knows how much long a time before it comes out.
This is why Square Enix should be like, hey, you know what? We're not doing any marriage. There's no marriage in our game. Done. Easy. You're out of it. Instead, they have opened up a can of worms that, really, they are damned if they do, damned if they don't at this point.
Yeah, but then again, it probably works nicely for the marketing cycle. You know what I mean? It'll keep it in the forefront for a while.
Final Fantasy XIV has been doing oh so well. all right. Well, that does it for the news quiz. So we're going to treat you now to a little Halo 4 song I found and I wanted to share with the community. And when we come back out of the break, we'll tackle community mailbag.
Come on, let's go! Come on, move it, soldier! Let's go, go! Four, keep going, come on! We're surrounded! What are we gonna do?
We're low on rounds with grunts inbound, but here we've found our savior now. With you around, we'll master this campaign. We're glad you came. We're glad you came.
Too many enemies, enemies. But I am glad that you're here saving me, saving me. Let's do this like we did in Halo 3, Master Chief. Load your rifles now.
Now it's time to take a stand. Stand under Chief's command. Commands us cause he can. Can you spare another gun? Gonna shoot them in the head. Head out, I think they're dead. Dead thanks to Master Chief. Chief, we're glad you came.
Hello, all around. Crossing bound, but here we found our savior now. With you around,
taught you well at the academy, academy. I think your armor would look well on me, well on me. So would Cortana, you know what I mean, Master Chief. Start the party now.
We're low on rounds with Bronson Bound. We're here, we found our savior now. With you all around, we'll master this campaign. We're glad you came, we're glad you came. Tag along. It's up to you to master this campaign. We're glad you came. We're glad you came.
All right, it's mailbag time and question of the week. Do advertising promotions like Doritos and the old Mountain Dew for Halo 4, promotions like that, do they help or hurt your view of a game? Does it make you any less likely to pick up a game? You know, wanted to throw that out there. Because for me, at least, Rich, when I was first hearing about the promotions and stuff, I honestly wasn't too bothered. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, it's extra XP. But I started to kind of think back, and of course the whole Doritos kerfuffle came up with Jeff Keighley, and then I was like thinking back about other promotions that have happened, and you know, Call of Duty gets a lot of promotions often, tie-ins, things like that, and God knows Battlefield had a lot of different promotions with like Dr. Pepper back in the day, and I think for me, it depends on the type of promotion. Double XP, in my eyes, honestly, fine. It doesn't really bother me one way or another. I do get a little tired of all of the advertising because I certainly have seen more than my fair share of Mountain Dew commercials recently. But I think when the in-game offering is something other than XP, when it's offering items, and the one that comes to mind, I believe it was Bad Company 2. They did a promotion with Dr. Pepper, or maybe it was Mass Effect 2. Maybe it was Mass Effect 2 and Bad Company 2, if I'm now really thinking back on it. And they had these different outfits and weapons that you could pick up that were custom kind of Dr. Pepper weapons, or you know, and they were very specific. You know, you had to do the promotion to get them. You couldn't earn them any other way. Those bother me. Mm-hmm. Those kind of promotions make me feel like I am being left out unless I buy and buy into their other product that they're offering. And I feel slighted by the company. And I know it really bugged me to no end about the whole Dr. Pepper thing back with, I want to say it was Mass Effect 2, that now that I'm thinking about it, that was the big deal. But yeah, so
I want to cast your mind back even further for a good example of how to use it. Gears of War, the first one, which I jumped on late with, there was, if I remember rightly, a 2-map pack where the Discovery Channel had linked up with Epic. And they basically said, there you go, there's 2 maps for free, courtesy of the Discovery Channel. And that was great. I thought it was ace. Don't have to buy them. There you go. They're free. Get them down.
Yep.
That, I thought, was excellent. When it's a constructive use as well, like previously Xbox Live have done the tie-in with Doritos, funnily enough, to say, here you go, there's 2 free games, and we'll plaster our name all over it. Then again, I'm fine with that. That's okay.
Let's face it, Doritos Crash Course, probably one of the best indie free games ever made.
Yeah, but then there's the whole credibility thing where, I mean, I thought, even though I love the game, the impact of, I can't remember, was it Sprint or somebody that I don't know anything about because they're American?
One versus 100.
No, when they plastered it all over Alan Wake.
Oh, yeah. No, it was Verizon on our end.
Yeah, Verizon, that's it. So that was a bit of a dodgy one for me, because I think that took you out of the game a bit as well. So
yeah, I mean, the actual in-game promotion stuff, that to me, especially if it's like banners and billboards, yeah, I mean, I remember the Burger King thing with Fight Night Round 4 and how everybody was all pissed off because Burger King had their name everywhere, all over the ring. But I think about boxing rings, and God knows they have advertising all over the place anyway. So
yeah,
that doesn't bother me as much. I think ultimately for me, it becomes problematic and turns me off to a game when I know there's actual content that has to be tied to doing XYZ for some product.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's at least our takes on it. Let's find out what the community had to say. Let me jump over to the old Gate forums. We had a couple responses here. So Ginge Ninja chimed in once my page loads up here. He says, yes, they annoy me personally. I don't buy junk food and don't believe these major franchises should be promoting food and drink that are generally unhealthy. That's, you know what, hey, that's an interesting take on it. I didn't even think about that. But why not put a promotion on fruit or have a sports club give out codes for taking part in a sport? Your local sports center could give you an hour of double XP for an hour's swimming, for example. Surely in the world, in a world where our children are, as a rule, less active than we were as kids, we need to make a stand against promoting bad health through video games. Wow. I mean, Ginge Ninja, way to take that to a whole different level than I was even thinking. Stephen Maddock chimed in. He said, only if they give you double XP. I saw bazing. Generally, I don't mind them, and seeing current billboards and movie posters in Rainbow Six Vegas was kind of amusing to me. If it's not intrusive, I don't care. But if you see Master Chief sporting a Mountain Dew logo on his armor like he was a NASCAR racer, then I might get annoyed. Shinyverse chimed in. He says, it bugs me for sure. If I love a game, I'll still pick it up, but those adverts certainly do cheesify the game for me a bit. If I don't like the game, I will likely stay away from the products that co-advertise with it, even if I like the products that are associated with a crap game. I usually temporarily stay away from them. So, definite opinions there. And then we did, I believe, have a couple responses over at LAG, so we'll flop over to them real fast. And of course, they want my username and password. Gotta love LAG. They are so on it. Hopefully I put in the right username and password. Always a bonus in these situations. Alright, so the Real Defoe chimed in. He said, this type of ad campaign has no effect on my opinion of a game. I actually wish they were done more often. I love Mountain Dew and Doritos and Halo 4. So this is a match made in heaven for me. Let's see, Perv Game chimed in. Nope. And this is actually GamerGirl27. She's changed her gamer tag on LAG. But GamerGirl127 said, nope, and hell, if I can score something because of it all, the better. And then Sid chimed in, it doesn't really matter to me, though I wish it was Dasani or Aquafina instead of Mountain Dew. And maybe Lay's instead of Doritos. So some preferential drinks and chips, apparently. But that was what the community had to say. I know we had some Twitter responses. Rich, why don't you take us through the Twitters?
Twitters? Yeah. So we had... I'm just trying to skip forward from what wasn't last week.
We have them in the game notes. I did you a solid, Rich. I did you a solid.
In the notes. Oh, I'll get back to this tab then. Oh, this is great podcasting. We're finding our way around the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, so we had... Gamox 14. What is your opinion on the most overhyped title or franchise? So totally different question, not answering our question, countering us with another question.
Yes.
So great.
But in a sense, I think this kind of rides with that theme in terms of the hype meter
yeah.
and the big promotions, that kind of thing. So, you know, we were starting to talk beginning of the podcast, and then you politely told me to shut up and save it for the podcast. I think the key to this question is really getting a true sense of, you know, are we talking most overhyped or most hyped? Because, it, you know, as I read it, when I think, you know, overhyped, I'm thinking game that was promoted heavily but underdelivered. Not just the game that had the most hype around it, because clearly Black Ops 2 and Halo 4, I think, are running neck and neck for the most hype this year, mm-hmm. In terms from games media to just actual, you know, promotions and, you know, on television commercials. Those two games absolutely have dominated in that regard. But I kind of think they both delivered. I'm not really of the opinion that either one of those under-delivered. I think they actually kind of over-delivered on what a lot of people either thought was going to be, you know, given to us based off of what we know from the past in those games' IPs. So I don't see them as being overhyped. I think a game that potentially could fall into this category, and I don't firsthand have an opinion yet just because I haven't played enough of it, but I've heard enough grumblings that Assassin's Creed 3 could potentially fall into this category. You know, it's gotten some mixed reviews, not necessarily negative reviews, but a lot of people were saying it isn't quite as great as we thought it was going to be. And the game media was all over this game. I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 was the next coming of Christ for a while, and now they've definitely pulled back from that viewpoint. And it also had a tremendous amount of television advertising. I mean, to this day, I still am seeing advertising on our TV channels here for Assassin's Creed 3 in primetime. So that, to me, might be potentially the most overhyped this year. The only other one I'd throw up there, well, you know, it's not my personal opinion, but I think you could probably make a good case for Mass Effect 3 being the most overhyped as well. I mean, I didn't have a problem with the ending, but God knows there was such a huge kerfuffle over that, and everybody got so angry about the ending of that game and how it failed in so many other people's eyes to deliver what they were promised. That could also fit right in that slot. Rich, what do you think?
I've got a good overhyped game that had a massive... massive marketing budget, which probably did its job to get the games off the shelves, but the game was definitely not worthy of the amount of marketing, and that game was Homefront. THQ basically shot their load on the marketing for that, and you know, it was too much. To be honest with you, because the game didn't live up to that single player. Multiplayer, perfectly serviceable, and enjoyed that. But I don't think it did what it was meant to do, which was get a foothold. So I'd go for that. As far as a franchise, there's one that's always, over the years, never flicked the switch for me. Apart from the first one, which wouldn't have had all of the marketing, but the consequent ones have, and that would be, for me, Resident Evil.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that. Resident Evil certainly had a lot of hype around that franchise over the years, and, you know, depending on your viewpoint, the game has, you know, every new game has basically gone downhill, with the exception of Resident Evil 4, which, you know... it gets held in a lot of high regard as being this turning point for the franchise and was, you know, supposedly making the, you know, Resident Evil franchise relevant again. But I look at the game mechanics of Resident Evil 4 and I don't necessarily think they are any better any better than what we're currently seeing. Maybe it was just because it was so new and so different. That's why everybody loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think Resident Evil is a pretty good one, Rich. I mean, if I'm going to go back and think about in past, I was just looking at this year when I was looking at his question. But, I mean, looking back, I mean, there's a lot of games you can look at. I mean, I think back to Too Human and how much hype that game got and how just, I mean, even though, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a solid game, but it definitely did not live up to the hype as being this blockbuster that we all thought it was going to be. Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. Thank you very much, Gamux14. That, I mean, that's a question we could debate this probably for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's carry on.
Yep.
Let's carry on.
So the next one came in from Steffi Business, and he put, they would, if they happened in the UK, I'd think it was a good thing. Now, Steffi here is hitting on a big bugbear of mine, because I have commented on him previously. I hate how, and especially Microsoft are massively guilty of this, how they centralize all of their promotions and stuff around the US. Only this week, 10-year anniversary of Xbox Live. And over in America, lucky people were getting dished out anniversary Xboxes, but not over here. No, we're just serviced to the very minimum, and we don't get any of these promotions. So yes, very very good point there, Steffi, and I'm right there with you, mate. Definitely.
Yeah, no, I agree. I know often, Rich, you and I have been talking, and you're just like, well, that's not available here in the UK, so it doesn't matter to me.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm guessing there's an actual reason behind it, because certainly Microsoft is definitely involved over in Europe. It's one of those things that baffles me. Maybe that's one of those things we need to write into Microsoft customer support, or even Major Nelson, to see if he'll answer it. Why promotions only happen in the U.S. versus outside of the U.S.
Or we could set up a call where we record it and ring up customer services complaining, see what they have to say.
Yes. Yeah, and then proceed to tell them nothing but I'm Batman.
Yeah.
No, so funny story about this promotion, though, before we get away from it. So Xbox Live turned 10, and I decided out of curiosity to go look into my account and see how long I had been on Xbox Live. And amazingly, as of the 17th of November, I had been on Xbox Live for 10 years. And so I was like, well, isn't that interesting? So, I was kind of holding out a little hope for something cool, but, you know, was not going to get my hopes up too much. And was checking my emails, you know, as they were saying, oh, it's, you know, going to be happening in around Thursday when the 10-year anniversary is, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, you know, looking and nothing. And I'm like, all right. And then I get this this message on my my Xbox Live account from Microsoft Xbox Live. And it's, you know, for being a member for Xbox Live for 10 years, we want to thank you. And my heart just starts to, like, race. I'm like, holy crap. You know? I'm getting something cool. And I start scrolling down the message, and then, like, we want to give you a code for your custom avatar helmet. And I just started laughing. I mean, I got to say, Microsoft, pretty disappointing that an avatar helmet is what I get for 10 years of Xbox Live service. And I believe they gave this out to basically buttloads of people that weren't even 10-year members on Xbox Live Gold. I appreciated the fact that they offered up the Racketeer for free to the Xbox dashboard, if you will, for anybody. But again, for those that already have it, like myself, doesn't do me any good, and quite honestly, anybody who doesn't have Kinect, it doesn't do them any good. So, it really felt like kind of a very disingenuous gift. I gotta say, Microsoft, you let me down pretty big time with this this 10-year promotion or 10-year anniversary. I think you would have been better off just saying thank you and not offering up anything at this point, because what you did offer up, more or less, an insult to pretty much everybody out there.
And once again, do a comparison with what Sony's doing with PSN.
Yeah. I you know, Microsoft really needs to change their game up, especially as we go into the next gen, because I'm going to be a much more educated buyer this go-round for the next generation of consoles. I'm going to wait and hear what both Sony and Microsoft have to offer before I dive into either one. So, all right. That said, let's move on. We've got more. I think Pete Red Dog is next.
Yes. We had one from... Ooh, I've put the wrong tab up. Pete Red Dog said, no MS hardly in it for the love, are they? It's all about maximizing potential profits. I think he's right as well, because, like I said about the PSN comparison, PSN, the only reason Sony's doing it is because they need to keep all of them people on board and get more, whereas Microsoft can just sit back and kick off their slippers and say, yeah, we've got the most.
True. And then we had one more tweet, Rich.
All right. That's from GamesPad. Yes. This was going back to last week's Filofax.
Yes, the Filofax
conundrum.
Mystery conundrum, yes, question, whatever you want to call it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically they put, Filofax discussion made me laugh. So as requested, see the pick attached. Final note, the twat chat was classic.
Yes, the twat chat made it into the outtakes, Rich.
Okay. Yeah.
Twat, twat, twit, twat, you know, that thing. And Filofax, God bless you, GamesPad, because Filofax, in the U.S., we called an organizer. You had your little day planner, organizer, either, take your pick, either one. They were basically the same thing. And that is what was shown in this picture that he was calling a Filofax.
Yes.
So mystery solved.
Yeah. Indeed.
Because Filofax, I swear to God, I had this envision of you having this huge accordion file. You know, those expandable files that, you know, you have to like rope together with rope to keep it from flopping open again.
Yeah.
That was my picture of a Filofax. But yeah. All right, so that does it for this week's question. Next week, we wanted to transition a little bit, so we're getting to that time where we're going to start considering our end-of-the-year categories and awards and how we're going to handle all of that. And I think, Rich, you and I probably are both in the same boat. We want to do it similar to what we did last year, with the debating, the coming down with a final grouping for different categories, similar to how Giant Bomb does it. Take a few different shows to get through it all, and then have the community weigh in and cast final votes. But we thought, given all of that, end of the year awards, what category would you like us to consider as part of this? So there's going to probably be some standard stuff. I mean, of course we're going to have a game of the year. We'll probably have best racing game and best shooter, but maybe some of the more outlying ones, or maybe a funny odd one that you want us to consider to throw into the categories for the end of the year show. So we want to hear back from you. Give us some ideas. We'd like to hear from the community. And with that said, Rich.
Yes.
Now we play a jingle.
Starsky's board. Let's do this.
All right, so play dates this week. Well, because Mr. Matthew is not here, I will I'll take it on. But exciting news, before we do that, we have now a trio for our podcast. Mr. Mike Chin, you finally made it to the show.
Yeah, I finally made it. There's one thing that I hate about it. I love my job, Greg. I do love my job.
Right.
It's interesting. It's challenging. It's rewarding. Right. There is one thing I hate about my job, though.
Let's hear it.
Networking.
I hate
networking events. I hate.
Which is surprising because you're a very sociable person, but I get it.
Because they're forced situations. It's a room full of people that don't want to talk to each other. That basically all they want to do is sell whatever their business is selling. Right.
Yep.
And everybody wants to make money. No one wants to spend money. Right. So it's. Yeah. I think most of the time they're kind of like a waste of time. But they're a necessary evil.
They are. They are. And
now and again, not very often, but now and again, we have to do them. And the people at the networking events just drive my. Anybody that uses, I've got a few kind of rules about networking events. Anybody that uses the word synergize or synergy,
it's total
straight out. Fuck, get out. I'm not interested.
We take the synergies
between
our groups. And really synergize what
we
want to
strategize new media and synergize the way that global assets attain local markets. Like they just—it's just hot
and
air.
And capitalize on our capabilities
exactly,
to monetize our synergies.
Yeah. Fuck off. All you want is your business card. Just go away.
You two. You're fucking networking. Now stop.
All right, we've got play dates. Let's talk about them. And after that,
hello everyone. By the way.
Yeah, instead of community play date, we're going to make you talk about what you've been playing real quickly.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine. That's fine.
Perfect.
Let's do that.
All right. Play dates. Mondays, Monster Mondays, still happening. Avoid the zombies, the monsters. You don't want to mess with them. But, yeah, Minecraft Mondays, still going on. And we have another entry. Now, Shinyverse sent me a quick message saying, hey, we've got another event for Mondays, and he made a special request. So I'm going to do my best at this. That's the best I can say.
This is not good. I don't like this.
Here we go. G4TE is proud to bring you our latest weekly playdate, Monday Night Halo. Beginning on November 26th, your hosts, Shiny and Chutney, will bring you two sessions of Halo 4 every Monday starting at 8 p.m. GMT and 8 p.m. EST. The game types will be a mixed bag and will vary depending on how many people are in the lobby. Matchmaking, custom games, Spartan Ops, and campaign run-throughs will be part of the action. This event is for everyone regardless of talent. If you are a bad player, or simply don't know how to play but you want to learn, Monday Night Halo is for you. Monday Night Halo is all about a great game with friends and having a laugh. New members and shy ones are especially encouraged to join in so you can meet some new people and get to know your community. We hope to see everyone there each and every Monday. Cheers and happy gaming to all of you.
Excellent. I felt like whipping your wig off there, Greg.
I don't know who that was supposed to be.
That was my attempt at Howard Cosell.
Who is Howard Monday Cosell?
Monday Night Football, famous American sportscaster. We'll send you a link.
This is the reason why we have this Overseas Connection show. It's education as well as entertainment.
Yes, truly.
We need to synergize these ideas.
We do need to synergize these ideas. Speaking of synergies, Friday Night Racing at the old 8 p.m. GMT, which I lovingly call Gross Mountain Time. Friday Night Racing, I believe it is still happening strong in the Forza Horizon universe. And veteran gamers might be doing something on Monday, 6 GMT, Mike?
Sunday. Sunday, the veteran gamers will be playing a game called... Oh, let me read it. I've never... Call of Juarez? No. Hang on. Call of Duty. There's another thing after it. I don't know. Something about Black Cops. I don't know. There's two of them.
Call of Duty Black Cops.
So Call of Duty 2, Black Cops Revenge. Something like, I don't know. But it's something along those lines. So look in your game library, see if you've got a game that matches that, and then we'll be playing it on the Veteran Gamers at 6 p.m. GMT, which is Gross Mountain Time, according to Greg.
So I'm getting that Duke's actually got out and gone and bought it now. Then
he said he's going to obtain a copy of it somehow.
Well, he needs to.
Going, yeah.
That boy is born to shoot.
He made it like he didn't want to. He's like, I'm going to obtain a copy somehow. I was like, right, you're going to go to a shop and buy it, aren't you?
Right. It's just going to be hard to find.
He's like,
sorry.
I don't know where, but I'm going to get some. I'll get some crystal meth. Right. Yeah. Okay.
I've heard of it. Black Ops 2. Don't know it. Sorry. Got nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. It
Look, is that an indie game? I don't know. Maybe check the bargain bin.
Surprise! It's not Texas Hold'em again.
What do you mean it's not on Steam?
All right. Birthdays this week. A big shout out. One, I think we forgot to mention Parsnip Nose last week.
Parsnip Nose, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Parsnip Nose, as well as Cardinal Jimenez.
39.
Yeah, 39. I could be saying that completely wrong. I apologize. And Kern 456.
37.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Kern, just to feel old, I am 10 years younger than you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Kern. New members this week. Siberian, Grumpy McCarson.
I've heard things about Grumpy McCarson. I've heard he's quite grumpy.
What I believe is going to be actually, I would take it as Geezer 1379.
Yes,
but it's GSR. GSR 1379.
Mm.
And C-Fox 27. Happy birthday. Yeah, yeah.
That's new members.
Yeah. Victories achieved this week. We've got a few. Blue Baru finished L.A. Noir. Hot Chutney CPM 1376 and Steve O'Matic finished Halo 4.
Okay.
John Mouse finished Dishonored.
Well done.
Kev H67 finished Black Ops 2.
Oh, that's it. Not Black Ops. That's racist.
Yeah.
No, it's not racist, Greg, because black people can be cops as well. You racist person. Black Ops 2. That's what it was.
And congratulations.
Okay, you avoided that. See how you avoided that?
I'm good about avoiding, Mike. I can do it. That's my wife. SLH finished Fairy Legend of Avalon and Call of Duty Black Ops 1. Welcome to, 2010?
Black Ops, yeah, 1. Yeah, 2010,
yeah. There we go. SLH pulling out the old school.
Look at that.
Yep. And, of course, we can't go a podcast without saying congratulations, Gary Lever, for winning the first Victory Achieved contest.
Yeah, right.
You too can take part in the Victory Achieved Twitter contest. The rules are rather simple. You must include yourself in the picture, and you have to send a picture of yourself and the final game credits or title screen with it completed to @g4te.com. That's all spelled out, the dot spelled out, D-O-T, on Twitter. And you need to send that before January 31st, 2013. And you, too, could be a winner. And that brings us to this time, which is basically us talking Mike games.
Okay. No worries.
Yeah.
All right. Because we're short on time, pick one. Black Ops, only multiplayer only, or...
We talked about it.
Ask Creed 3.
Let's talk Ask Creed 3.
Ask Creed 3. Right. Yeah. This is a very hard game to critique. And I'll tell you why. Because it's really good. But it's also bad.
Which goes along with some of the mixed reviews that
we've
seen.
Yes, I could understand the mixed reviews. Myself, I prefer 2 and Brotherhood. However, I'm not saying... Look, what Assassin's Creed do very well is the setting. And the setting is fantastic. Boston is brilliant. I'm just heading to New York. And, you know, the frontier, you know, the woods, the trees... That shit, brilliant. Well done, you nailed it. Combat, animation, fantastic. Well done again. Gameplay. Now, this is a big thing, because the gameplay, how I interact with the game world, is very important. Games can look bad, but still have great gameplay, and still be great games. Games that have poor gameplay, and look great, are always bad games. I just came up with that, I should write that down, it's good. Alright, but, it is. It's good. It's true. Right? So, the way I play, the way I interact with my character, Connor, who's not very likable, by the way, is important. Now, what you used to do in previous Assassin's Creed games was hold the right trigger and hold A to do the kind of parkour-y shit. They took away the holding A or X on the PS3, and you just hold the right trigger to run and do all the parkour-y shit. And it doesn't solve the problem of you randomly jumping on a fence and everybody freaking out. It doesn't solve the problem of you jumping where you don't want to jump. It kind of... It's changed the controls to fix something, and it didn't even fix it. You know, it's like taking your car to the mechanic and saying, hey, you know, I need this fixing, you know, the heating doesn't work, and then you come out and the heating still doesn't work. What's the point? There's no point.
Right.
You're wasting time.
That's the you know, with the comic scene you always see where the guy's like, oh, my foot hurts, and the guy punches him in the stomach. He's like, well, now your stomach hurts.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but my foot still hurts.
It still hurts.
Yeah.
So it's that's a problem, the way the game plays. And I think people forgive Assassin's Creed for its gameplay because it's not unplayable by any means.
Right.
It's still playable. It's still enjoyable. The way that you parkour through the trees is brilliant. Fantastic. The main missions are good. I enjoy them. But what I loved about Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood was that it organically pulled me away from the main missions. You know what I mean? It kind of said, what about these secret underground layer things that you've got to do? What about the Assassin's Creed? The assassins that you've got to recruit? What about the missions that you've got to assign them to? And it all felt organic. It felt like I had a lot to do, and all of it was fun. And I was like, yes, I've got so much to do. This game was great. In Assassin's Creed, when I go looking for extra shit to do, I can't really find it. I don't know how to recruit new assassins. I don't know how to liberate an area. And when I do it, I don't really feel like I've done much.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of a quick assessment based off what you're saying.
Mm-mm.
Would you say that from a... If you're looking at Assassin's Creed 3 with fresh eyes, somebody who hasn't played the game series, you know, at all and or very limited, maybe Assassin's Creed 1, Assassin's Creed 3 probably comes across as fantastic.
Yes.
But somebody who has played every game and every iteration of it, it's sounding like it feels maybe a little bit of a step back or a lateral step, not necessarily a step forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a solid step is slightly more accurate. I wouldn't say it's a backstep, because there are things that have been improved. Like I said, the animation. I like the kind of the way the missions are structured. I like the missions themselves. I like the characters. I think the acting's better. This is all in the Boston kind of Tea Party, you know, era. I'm not talking about the Desmond shit. That era, it's all very well realised. The fact that you're playing in the time that not many games are set in, not many games like this anyway, is quite unique. As a British person, I don't know too much about who all these people are. But it's still really interesting, really cool. You're exploring an area in a video game that you don't usually get to explore. That's brilliant.
Right.
The whole Desmond shit is just faff. It's just faff. It's just, how quickly can I get through this to get back to Boston? Because, you know, this hologram starts talking to you, and you don't know if she's a recording, a ghost. You have no idea what she's talking about.
Well, and in fairness, I mean, let's think about it. I mean, the present time stuff is all set in environments that are very, I mean, they're small. They're not huge open world environments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
But like there is a moment in Assassin's Creed 3 where you have to climb up a tower in New York, and it's so linear, you know, there's no exploration, you're not actually in New York.
It is, you just gotta go up.
Just go up. I looked at the scenario, and I looked at the environment, I was like, wow, you know, if that was all open, this would be an amazing game, but that could never happen, because these are skyscrapers. So it makes you realise the limitations of the console in a way, because it would be cool if you could play in that New York in an open world environment as a modern day Desmond, but you can't.
Yeah. That's what Watch Dogs is going to be, right?
Well,
hopefully.
We'll see. But you know, all this bollocks about you got to unlock a certain room and you go through and this chick's talking to you. Oh God, it's all boring. It's all boring, which is a shame because it was kind of getting exciting in two. You know what I mean? It was ramping up a little bit, and they really like stopped it to a halt. Yeah, so that's crap, but you know, the combat system isn't as good as it used to be. It's simpler, but is it better? I would say no. It's more akin to Batman now. You know, you press a button when you've got a counter, and you reply, pretty much. I like the old combat system. Maybe it's just because I don't like change. I thought I'd warm to it eventually. I haven't. I still feel like I'm halfway through, so who knows? But I still enjoy it. This is the thing. All these criticisms, the game is still amazing. The story, the setting, the amount of NPCs on screen at once, it's still fantastic. So you forgive it. You know, the very first scene, you're right. you're in the theater, right? And the first things you have to do is climb across the balcony. Anybody in that crowd would fucking see you. Anyone, right? But you forgive it because it's awesome. You know, you look at you.
Well,
go,
yeah,
this
the
is
theater
box.
Itself is amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Look. Okay, you kind of not. You don't. You forget about it. You forgive it, right? And you just go, well, it's a, yeah, whatever. Okay, this is cool. At least it's an excuse to do this, so I don't mind. So
real quick side tangent. This is based off a question we got asked from one of our listeners in our feedback. Let me go back to it. So Gamux14 asked, what, in your opinion, is the most overhyped title or franchise? Now, he didn't tag it to a specific time frame, but I kind of took it for this year. And I was throwing Assassin's Creed 3 out there as potentially being one of the more overhyped.
Yeah. I think... To the kind of average person that doesn't follow the industry, okay, I read IGN and Joystick and listen to podcasts and community podcasts like ours. They probably buy it, enjoy it, think it's cool, or you know, think it's more Assassin's Creed. And I think they don't pay attention to the hype as much as we do. They see the adverts. There's a lot of adverts, but there's a lot of adverts for all, you know, Need for Speed. And
right. But I think Assassin's Creed 3 was excessive.
Yeah, we've been akin to, like, you know, trailer after trailer. I mean, Assassin's Creed have always been very aggressive with their marketing. Assassin's Creed 2 was very aggressive as well, but it lived up to it, so we forgive.
Right.
With this one, again, they've been showing off the whole new setting, and so they should. It's great. They've been showing it off since E3, really. So I would argue it probably is one of the most hyped games of the year. Does it mean it's bad? No. But right. It definitely doesn't live up to the hype. No way.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Black Ops, you kind of know what you get, really, at this point with
right.
Call of Duty. You kind of go, well, the campaign's going to be like 5 to 8 hours long, depending on your difficulty. The multiplayer is going to be, you know, rock hard because everybody's going to love it, but it's, you know, kill streaks or score streaks and zombies, where you shoot zombies. You know exactly what you're going to get. So no one hyped it up.
Well, I mean, they did hype it up to a small degree, and certainly the media, there was a lot of hype in the media, but I think Black Ops 2, unlike Assassin's Creed 3, I think it kind of delivered, because in general, everybody's like, everybody's saying it delivered what it was promising and then some, whereas Assassin's Creed 3, it seems like they really fell short of what the expectation was. Everybody thought this was game of the year.
Yeah, it's all about expectancy, Greg. It's all about expectancy. What do you expect from the game? And people knew what to expect from Black Ops because we've had one pretty much every year since 2005, right? And so we know the little minor tweaks that have changed. Yeah. I think Call of Duty 2 came out on the generation, and there's been one every year since. So, yeah, we know what to expect. Assassin's Creed, yes, we've had one every year since 2009, but... this one really felt like a leap. It was going to be a big jump from Revelations, and it wasn't. We just expected more.
Okay.
Borderlands, we expected the same shit, and it was. Well,
yeah.
I say shit. It's wicked shit, by the way.
Exactly.
There you go.
Excellent.
It's a good game. I'm going to keep playing it. I like it. Oh, yeah, and the whole homestead shit, where you got to build up your homestead, useless. You don't need money in this game. Money is pointless.
Money is pointless, isn't it?
Money is not real, Greg. Let's get deep.
Yeah. all right. We are going to move along.
Yeah.
I love it, though, Mike. We got you done in, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Mike played done.
Bang.
Beautiful.
That's how I work. I haven't got time for messing with the phone.
I've got a question for Mike.
Go on.
Because you're the stick and ball man. Have you played Pool Nation yet?
I have played Pool Nation.
Did you not rate it, then?
I thought it was good. I'm so used to playing World Champion Snooker 2007. All right.
Not the gold standard, Rich. It's not the gold standard.
I'm used to that control scheme, so I'm used to holding left trigger to do a fine tune. With this, it's press the D-pad. So I was having a bit of trouble with the controls, but like that's faffy stuff. If people jump on this, all right, because there hasn't been a pool game for a while, if people jump on this and start playing it, I'll buy it. Because some people have asked me like what I think of it because I'm a snooker guy. So yeah, I thought it was all right. It was definitely presented very well.
I bought it. I love it. It's great.
There you go. I might buy them. I might buy it.
There we go. All right, Indie Writer Block. If you're interested in contributing to the site, I'm moving us along because time is short now, gentlemen.
I understand.
Yep. Indie Writer Block.
Jesus Christ.
Got some new articles up. David Southern's Exposure Part 2, Games, 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 So Little Time. And we have our first entry up as well.
Oh, two?
The first 10 look at Fable the Journey. Yeah, screw it up
Greg's
there.
Greg's making videos.
Yes, I am making
what
videos.
What the fuck? I got.
Yeah. Have a look. We'll talk next week about
Let's
it, Mike, because there should be
a
new video. Yes, we'll synergize. All right. If you want to contribute on the Indie Writer Block, it's real easy. You contact Jay Schumacher at his email, which is iwb@g4te.com, or you can always send him a tweet, which is @iwblock, and he'll get you hooked up and let you know what you need to do. And I do believe we have an iTunes review. Rich, I'm hoping you have that up and ready.
I have. It's from David Southern, and it's titled, "Great Bunch of Chaps, Great Banter, Great Gaming News, Keep Up the Good Show," I think, because it was just dot, 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 and it's run out of space. So, yes, he goes on to say, "If you're after an honest, straight-to-the-point gaming podcast covering all platforms, then look no further, because you have found it. A mix of unique personalities from the UK and US, which in itself brings different opinions. All in all, they simply say what they think literally, which is a good thing, right? No fluffing up the edges, so to speak. Straight to the point, and with a level of humour and knowledge old and new gamers can appreciate. Download and enjoy. P.S. I ain't on any commission whatsoever. Thanks, D.S.U.V.Z. Gamespad." And he's been tweeting as well, so nice to have some interaction. David. And Synergy!
And Synergy. If you want some synergy with the show, you can email the show, and that's simply at ocpodcast@gmail.com. Jeez Louise, look at me. And that's the email, but the Twitter is @OC_podcast. And, of course, Rich mans that normally. I chime in once in a while on it, and Mike pretty much ignores it all. You can leave us a voicemail if you want at 626-506-2763. That's 626-50-OC-POD. And, of course, we do want more iTunes and Zune reviews.
And we are reading
them. It's not even Zune. It's Xbox Music now. I don't even know what has gone on there. But iTunes reviews, we want more.
And we're reading them out.
Yes, we are reading them out every 5 months.
Live.
Yes. I guess that brings us to the closing comments. Mike, we'll save you for last.
Oh.
You can close out the show. How's that? I'll go first. I want a big shout-out to CFox27 and the Chicago Bears. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about there. And an un-shout-out to the Real Defoe and his hated Broncos. You also know what's going on there. And a very loving big hug shout-out to Bongo the Sane. And Rich, go.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out a game, a little game that I didn't want to go into too much detail on earlier because it's an iOS game. Let's Press. The ship sailed for me a long time ago on Words with Friends, but this one is a lot better. It's tactical, and it's worth having a look at, and it's free, and excellent to play on the iPad. So check it out, Let's Press. Something a little bit different on the word game front. And also going to shout out Pete Red Dog for his excellent link to the What If Doom Was Call of Duty video, which was excellent. So basically a group of guys have done a Doom video, which is Call of Duty blops, and it's got everything from the man sitting in the chair asking about what the numbers are, but it's not numbers. It's the colour-coded cards that you always used to use in Doom. And, it's got all of the big scenes from all of the Call of Duties, and it's really funny. So,
you know what,
check
Rich,
it out.
We should retweet that.
Yes, we should, and I will.
Perfect.
Right now. Yeah, Mike.
Yes, I will shout out everybody that turned up for the Veteran Gamers live show last night.
Thanks to
you. What about those people that were interrupting you while you were trying to podcast?
Yes. Also, thanks to Greg that was texting me during the live show. Yes, it was a pretty good turnout. I can't remember. I think we had like 77 in total, so that was pretty good for a live show. It's quite hard to get people in the same place at the same time for a podcast because people are so used to kind of taking it away and listening to it in their own time. So we do appreciate people taking their time out. Yes. Yep.
It's excellent.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. So thanks to everyone that turned up. And thanks to Jesus. I don't know. I have nothing. So, yeah. That's it. That's me done.
We're done.
Sorry, I was late. Yeah, I'm a fool.
Because certainly Halo 4 and Call of Duty both were probably the most hyped games, but I feel like they've kind of delivered. So I don't necessarily consider them overhyped.
Yeah.
I mean, when you deliver, can you really call it overhyped? So then it falls to, well, what game may have kind of under-delivered?
Hey, hey, do this when we're talking about it.
All right, yeah, yeah, fair enough. Hey, asshole, save it for the podcast.
Damn right. Let's do this.
All right, here we go. Yeah, so here's a funny little odd story. So Hitman Absolution, it shows for $59.99.
Mm-hmm.
I got mine from Amazon for $49.99. I don't know how. I don't know why. But I saw my transaction receipt, and I was like, hey, $49. Score.
Very nice.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Yeah, crazy. Mike.
Hello.
So good of you to join us.
Am I on time?
Am I on time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an hour early, right?
Yeah.
An hour late.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, was it finished?
No.
Oh.
We're at events and happenings.
Oh, right. So it's really finished.
You've made it just in time to hear me do a Howard Cosell impersonation for part of it. And we can, after we do events and happenings, we can, instead of the gaming fact and spotlight, we can talk about what you've played.
If you want. I'm not.
My only thing is I have about 20 minutes left before I need to bail off. So
I'll keep it brief. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'll keep it brief.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
I will catch up with you all later. Actually, I'll be back on probably within half hour or so.
Okay.
On not on live.
Yeah. I go back on this shit.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Video are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.